The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from The Movement.
Hey, how many of you in the room this morning have children or have ever been around children? I think everyone in this room could say yes in some form. Kids can say the craziest things, can't they? They can say the craziest things. And this week, our family went back to school after a long 2-week Christmas vacation. And the first day back to school, when my kids got dropped off from the carpool, Avery, my 5-year-old, she busts through the front door and kind of like staggers over to me at the kitchen table and falls into my arms. And she looks bad. And I'm like, what is wrong? And she goes, Mom, I don't feel good. And I said, oh, babe, that's bad. The flu's been going around like crazy. Let's go to your room right now. We're going to quarantine this thing. And so we went straight to her room, put her in pajamas. I gave her Motrin. I laid her in bed with a TV show. And she laid there and she rested. And I noticed as the day progressed, she really was doing okay. There was no fever. She was kind of bouncing around a little bit, feeling better. And so I was so relieved not to have to deal with the flu. And so I went in to tuck her in for bed that night. And I crawled into bed with her and I was covering her up. And I said, baby, I'm so happy you're not sick. And she said, Mom, I am so sick. And I said, no, baby, you're not sick. You've been happy and bouncing around and you've been laughing. You're good. You don't have a fever. And then she starts shaking, like sobbing, crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening right now? And she goes, I don't ever want to get married. At this point, I'm shaking because I'm laughing so hard. And I'm like holding her and patting her head and I'm laughing so hard. I'm shaking and I'm like, why? Why are you thinking about that? And then she again lets out another wail. I don't ever want to have children. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on right now? And I kind of start patting her head. I'm like, honey, you don't have to worry about that right now. It's okay. And I'm calming her down. I mean, she's 5. And I came to the realization that it was a challenge for my beautiful 5-year-old to go back to kindergarten after a 2-week vacation, because kindergarten is hard work. They make you learn how to read, and they make you learn how to count, and they make you play on the playground, and you have a full day of school with your friends. It is hard work. And I realized my cute little 5-year-old was feeling like she didn't want to grow up and get married and have kids because really she didn't like the discipline that was necessary of going to kindergarten. But how many of us know that we have to grow up? At some point, we have to grow up. We got to go to kindergarten so we can learn how to read. We got to get through elementary school so we can survive high school. And we've got to do pretty good in high school so we can go to college and get a degree, so we can go get a job and work for the rest of our life. We got to grow up, right? And I think all of us at some point or another feel like Avery. I think all of us at some point go, I don't want to grow up, right? But it's part of life. We all grow physically. We all grow mentally. We all grow spiritually. And we move from season to season. It's just part of life. And to grow requires intentionality, right? It requires discipline, showing up where you need to be when you don't want to be there. It requires a lot of hard work. And we're in week 2 of our series, Stronger. What we've been talking about is how every component of our life either makes us weak or it makes us stronger. So how do we differentiate between the two? And how do we know what God's version of stronger actually looks like? So what I want to talk about today is what I believe is a key component to growing stronger in God's eyes. I think God wants for us as believers to grow in spiritual maturity. And this is a process that doesn't ever end. Whether you have been a Christ follower for 30, 40, 50 years, or whether today is the first day in your journey of going, what is this all about? The process of growing in spiritual maturity, it never ends. There is always more. There's always something new we can learn. There's always something that God wants to work out on the inside of us. Last week, Pastor Kerry talked about how we prioritize our lives. If you weren't here, you got to go listen to that message because it was so good. And he used the example of a vase that a professor took, and he filled it with rocks. And then he filled it with pebbles, and then he filled it with sand. And Pastor Kerry talked about the fact that as we prioritize our life, we've got to make sure that we prioritize the big rocks of life first. And the most important big rock that we have in our life is our relationship with Christ. It's the most important. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, it says this: "Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it." You see, we have got to learn and understand what it is to build our house or build our lives around the rock that is Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever assembled a piece of IKEA furniture? Anybody in this room? I hope I never have to do that again. It falls apart so much. It's a lot of work, and IKEA furniture is famous for giving you a box full of pieces and a page of directions that you have to decipher, and it's just challenging. But we recently, probably a couple years ago, bought the girls some bunk beds. And the bunk beds were shipped to our house in this great big box, and we took it into their room and began to pull out the pieces. Some of the pieces were huge and obvious. It was clear what they were to be used for, and some of the pieces were small. And you thought, what is this and why do I need it? And we emptied the entire box and found that there were no directions in the box. And so for me, I'm like, that's a challenge. We get to take all these pieces and we get to put them together and form a bunk bed. That's a challenge. And I could say that really easily because the challenge was for Pastor Kerry to put it together and for me to be his cheerleader, right? So I could say that well. But you know, I don't always like instructions when I cook or bake. I hate that I have to follow those directions sometimes because, number one, I feel like it could take too much time or that it just defeats the creative process. But the thing is, Pastor Kerry went online and he found the directions to build those bunk beds. And I'm so grateful that he did, because if not, my 10-year-old Brooklyn could have crashed through the top bunk down to the bottom bunk and crushed Avery, right? So thank goodness he's a smart man and he decided to find the directions to build the bunk beds and put those pieces together. And our lives are the same. We've got some things that we can just kind of understand what they might be, but there's some things that we need an instruction manual to know how to do it well. We've got to learn what that manual looks like for our lives so that we can put our lives together well. Joshua 1:8 in the Amplified Version says this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you will be careful to do everything that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." You see, this book of the law is actually referring to the Bible. And it's saying, if you can put to practice what this says, then your way will be prosperous. You'll deal wisely and you'll have good success. You know, there's tons of books out there today that tell us how we can live a successful life. Tell us how to think better, how to be happier, how to live a successful life. There's the purpose-driven life. There are all of these books, and I love to read them. But there is no book out there that compares to the Bible. You know, a couple fun facts about the Bible. The Bible has 66 books in it. It was written over a 1,500-year span and over 40 generations. God used more than 40 writers, and they were from every walk of life, kings, fishermen, poets, scholars, to write the Bible. It was written in all different places. It was written in the wilderness, in dungeons, in palaces, on the road while people were traveling. It was written at different times. It was written during times of war and times of peace. It was written on three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, and in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And it includes hundreds of topics. Yet all of them are unified around the theme of God's redemption and his plan of salvation. The Bible. The Bible's been translated more than any other book in existence. That's huge, you guys. It has been read by more people and published in more languages than any other book in history. And no other book even begins to compare with the Bible in terms of circulation. Listen, over 200,000 Bibles are sold every day. Evidence alone suggests that the New Testament's reliability is far greater than any other record of antiquity. All of that to say, you can have confidence in your Bible. You can have confidence in your Bible. You know, I have on the stage a pile of Bibles. This one, if you really get a close look later, you'll see how old this Bible is. This was one of my childhood Bibles, and the pictures are hysterical. But this is one of the Bibles my mom read to me as a child. This is one of the Bibles I read to my kids. Down here is a study Bible, and this is a Greek and Hebrew Bible that tells you the different translations of the words. And this is my Bible I love to read and highlight and underline in. And you can look through it and find all of those notations. But it doesn't matter whether you have a Bible like this or you have a Bible that's on your smart device. If it's sitting on a shelf or if it's an app that's never opened, it's not going to do us any good. We have to actually figure out what can we do to apply this, the Bible, to our life. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." See, the word of God is living. This book has the power to change lives. It has the power to pick the addict up out of the gutter of shame. It has the power to turn the timid into the courageous. It has the power to restore broken marriages. It has the power to bring hope to the lost. It has the power to turn your life around and get it back on track. It has the power to heal your heart. The word of God is living. It's living. It's powerful. And I just think that God longs for you and for me to open it up and to become familiar with his voice. I just think when I read the Bible that it's like God is inviting me into his great big world and making it possible for me to be a part of that. The scripture tells us in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love this scripture because what it tells me is that God's word lights up the path that I'm walking on. Now, what it doesn't do, and I think this is good to clarify, what it doesn't do is it doesn't paint a spotlight down the road way ahead of us to show us exactly where we're going and exactly what it's going to take to get there. Because if it did that, we wouldn't have to rely on God at all, would we? No, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So when we are consistent in the word of God, it begins to light the step that we're on. Just enough light for the step we're on and a little bit to see where we're going. Just enough light for the step we're on and a little bit to see where we're going. The word of God gives us direction. It shows us which way we should be going. And if we are going to grow in spiritual maturity, we've got to develop the discipline of centering our lives, our choices, our feelings around the word of God. As we grow in our understanding of God's word, we've got to also not just understand it, but we've got to learn how to apply it. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says this: all scripture, everybody say all. Just making sure you're awake. All scripture is God-breathed. That means God breathed on it. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, the word of God, it teaches us. It teaches us what we need to know. It teaches us which way we're going. It teaches us what we need to know and understand about God. You see, so many people have this misconception of who God is. They think of God as this ruler that sits up in heaven, angry and judging the people, waiting to destroy them. But that's not what the scripture says about God at all. In fact, it says this in Psalm 103:8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He is abounding in love. How many of you, is that refreshing to know that? The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. Listen, God is so patient with you and with me. He is more patient than I could ever dream of being. God is slow to anger. He's abounding in love. And that's something we need to know about the nature of who God is. The Bible teaches us how to live in all different situations. You know, I was talking to a girl the other day, and she said, "You know, I don't know if I ever want to have children." And I was like, "Okay, why?" And she said, "Well, because I look around and I see my friends that are raising kids that are so ungrateful. They're so, no matter what you do for them, they're just ungrateful and they're spiteful and they make all the wrong decisions no matter how hard you work and what you do. And she said, my dad told me there's no manual for raising kids. And I was thinking, well, I understand where you're coming with that, but there actually is. It's found right here in the Word of God. It is useful for teaching us everything we need to know. Every practical thing of life that we might come up against, it is found in the Word of God. Listen, Proverbs talks about raising up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. It gives us wise advice for parenting. Ephesians 5 tells me how I can be a good wife. The Bible tells us how to have a successful marriage. The Bible tells us how we can have good friendships. The Bible tells us how we can handle every situation that comes our way. You know, I read through the book of Proverbs often, and this is a good tip if you're taking notes to write this down. I read through the book of Proverbs every month because there are 31 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, and in most months there are how many days? Just testing you this morning. There are 31. In most months, there's 31 days. So you can read through the book of Proverbs every day of your life for the rest of your life. And I'm telling you, it never gets old. And I was reading through Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 the other day, and it said this: answering before listening is both stupid and rude. Amen. Now, I can just read this and quickly move on to the next verse, or I can ask myself, have I done this? And the answer is yes. Often, especially with my husband. So, I don't want to be known as stupid or rude, right? So I can ask the Holy Spirit to help me be a better listener. I can take the Word of God and go, what do I need to learn from this? And then I can apply it to my life. Listen, we must personally respond to the Word of God. The Word of God applies to us. We must personally respond to it. And listen, it's more than information. If we just read it for information, we are missing the point. The Word of God is what shapes us. It's what shapes us to fulfill the mission that God has for our life. You know, I want to give you kind of an example of how to read the Scripture. And if you're taking notes, this would be a good thing to write down. When you open up the Word of God and you read the Scripture, you want to pray and say, God, what do you want to say to me through this today? Because remember, the Word of God is living and active. God wants to make it active in your life. So you can say, God, what do you want to say to me through this today? And then you begin to read it and you begin to look for what God might be trying to say. Psalm 18, 1 through 2 says this: I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. You know, if I was reading this, I would go, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? And then I might even open up my journal. I don't write how I feel every day or journal things like that, but I do open up a journal and I write down scriptures that stand out to me that I can learn something from. This is something you can do too. Whether you're a man or a woman in this room, everyone can write down something we're learning. In fact, in church service, guess what? You could write down something that you're learning that you want to walk away and live with during the week, right? There's notes on your seats. We gave it to you with a pen. You are prepared, okay? But I could go and take the scripture and I could go, God, what are you trying to say to me? Well, listen, here's what I hear. He's my strength, my rock, my fortress, my savior, my shield, my protector, my safety. So that means in the midst of challenge, in the midst of uncertainty, he is all of those things. So I can write that down and hold on to the promises. If I'm facing sickness, there's scripture in Psalm 41 that says, the Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. I can believe that for my life. When I'm afraid, Psalm 56 says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. I will trust in you and I will not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? So when we're facing fear, there's a scripture that says, I don't have to be afraid because I can look to God. He's got this under control. When we're having anxious thoughts and we're feeling stressed and worried, there's a scripture for that in Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, there are promises in the scripture. We can take this word and apply it to our lives. It matters. It is our instruction manual. It helps us know how to think. It helps us know what to do. It helps us understand who God is. And when we recognize that this scripture is God-breathed and it's a promise for you and me, we begin to believe all it has to offer. Because the word tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So the scripture also tells us we can't just be hearers. It tells us in James 1, we can't just hear it, but we've got to actually do it. We can't just be hearers of the word, but we've also got to be doers. You know, I have this newfound love for cherry tomatoes. Okay, I know that sounds crazy, and some of you loved them all your life, but I hated tomatoes growing up. And so now I can kind of handle them. I can handle a tomato on a sandwich. I can handle it on pizza. But I have a newfound love for cherry tomatoes. And you dip them in hummus and you pop them in your mouth. And it's like a flavor explosion in your mouth, right? Love it. And I was talking to my brother about this the other day and saying, gosh, it's just so crazy how much I love tomatoes now. Because I used to not like them at all. And he said, I know. When I went to college, I had to train myself to like vegetables. Because I realized I have to grow up. At some point, I got to grow up and start eating my vegetables if I want to be a healthy human being. And if I want to be an adult, I got to grow up and learn how to do this. Some of you in the room this morning need to grow up and eat your vegetables, right? Yeah, just saying. Okay. But we realize, you know what, there's something to this. We've got to grow in our taste as we get older and begin to try these things. There's a scripture in Hebrews 5:11, and it says, about this, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain since you have been dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. See, there's something in the scripture that talks about growing in spiritual maturity. And it's okay to start out in the very beginning taking in the sweet things of God. Like a baby with their bottle. They just love their bottle. But at some point, they have to start eating solid food. At some point, you open up a can of baby food, or some of you make it homemade. That's awesome. And you open it up and you begin to introduce them to new food, right? And so I remember with Brooklyn, my oldest, when we started to introduce new food, she loved the sweet stuff. She loved the sweet potatoes and the carrots and the fruit. She loved all of it. But the second we pulled out something green, she'd put it in her mouth, or we'd put it in her mouth, and it was pfft. And peas or broccoli or spinach or green beans would go all over me or Pastor Carrie. She'd spit it out everywhere. She did not like her greens. But eventually, she had to learn to start eating them. And now she eats them because we tell her to eat them. One day she will eat them because she will understand how good they are for her. And she'll understand that to be healthy, she actually does need green vegetables in her body. She'll begin to understand why the importance of eating vegetables is there. And the same thing goes for us. You know, the scripture tells us, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commands. I have stored your word in my heart so that I might not sin against God. Listen, the word of God has a lot of sweet stuff. Has a lot of sweet stuff. But the word of God also has some green vegetables. And we don't get to just... We got to grow up at some point and grow in spiritual maturity and our understanding of the word of God and applying it to our life. Because we can take the Bible and we can open it up and we can go, oh, I love the sweet things of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son for me. Isn't that good to know? To know that God loves us. To know that he's our peace that passes all understanding. That no matter what we face, that he is our peace. That the joy of the Lord is my strength, that I can count on that. And how good is it to know Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We love to quote that one, don't we? We love it. But then we come in and we go, huh, forgive as Christ forgave you. Well, only if they really deserve my forgiveness, God. I mean, I know you forgave me, but that part we could do without. Judge not, lest you be judged. You know, I'm not really really judging God. I'm kind of just simply stating the truth. And to anyone who wants to listen, and that's kind of that gossip or slander thing, so I might get rid of that one too. Let me just go there. Avoid, Ephesians, even the hint of sexual immorality. Well, wait a second. That's a little outdated, God. The Bible was written a bunch of years ago, and culture has really changed. And honestly, that just doesn't sound very fun. Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse so there'll be food in my house. And see if I won't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing until there is no more need. Well, the blessing part sounds awesome, God. But if I was to actually do what the Bible says and bring my tithe, I might not be able to go shopping or on that weekend vacation. Listen, guys, if we're going to grow in spiritual maturity, we can't just rip out the pages we don't like from the instruction manual. This is the manual of God to help us get where he wants us to go. He has equipped us and he has placed us here on earth for this time. You know, many roads and highways have guardrails, right? And we're grateful for them, especially if there's a steep drop on the other side, right? And most of us are not frustrated and going, oh, the guardrails are there. And we don't usually think, oh, these guardrails are so boring. And we don't think, gosh, it would be so much more fun if I could just drive over them. Right. No, we appreciate the fact that those guardrails keep us on the road and they make the path clear. Good. Ignoring the guardrails would be dangerous. And maybe even deadly. Listen, in the same way, God's word keeps us on the path. The Bible is our guardrail. And God's given us the ability to navigate this amazing road called life. God has trusted us with this moment in history. He's trusted us with a mission. And he's honored us with a free will. Listen, we get to choose how we live. We get to choose. He's given us the Bible to help us choose wisely. And he's given us the Bible to help us reach our destination, to equip us, to keep us from being destroyed. Listen, when we allow the word of God to become the foundation, the rock on which we build our life, we make our decisions, we allow our choices and our feelings to be driven by the word of God, it will radically transform your thinking and in turn your life. The word of God is powerful. You know, in Washington, D.C., there's a whole strip of housing and homes that ambassadors and people live in from other countries and other kingdoms who are here in the United States to represent their kingdom, right? So they live here, but it's not actually their home. They're from other countries and kingdoms around the world. And just as that, 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us this, that we are Christ's ambassadors. We are here on planet Earth for this time in history. This is not our home. This isn't the end game. We've been plucked out of eternity and put on the planet for such a time as this. You know, I have some friends who love to scuba dive, and they've been talking to me about how awesome it is to get underneath the ocean and to explore the coral and the reefs and the sunken ships and the beautiful fish. And it sounds exciting. Sounds a little scary to me too, but it sounds exciting. So I've been thinking maybe I should try this. And so I've been learning what it takes to actually scuba dive. And in order to get into the ocean, I would have to have a BCD, which is a regulator for my breathing, a mask, and an air tank. And if I didn't have the right equipment, I couldn't possibly get in the ocean and survive, right? We are Christ's ambassadors. We have come from his kingdom to live here in this one, and we've been given some gear so that we can live and survive and ultimately thrive here on earth at this time in history. See, the word of God is our gear. It's our gear for living on planet earth. And trying to live successfully and fulfill God's purpose for your life here on earth without his word is like me trying to do a 100-foot dive into the ocean and think that I could survive. We have got to have the word of God. It applies to our life. part of spiritual maturity is learning to read the word and apply it to our everyday, to find purpose and direction through our relationship with Christ, and then to put that purpose to practice. You know, there's so many ways to read the Bible. You are without excuse. There are so many ways to read the Bible these days. There's an app on your smartphones or your iPads. It's called YouVersion. And there's a million different reading plans you could choose from. In fact, as a church, we're in the middle of a 21-day challenge where we're challenging one another to get up every day and build our house, our lives upon the rock that is Jesus Christ, and to spend just 21 minutes of our day reading the word and praying and applying it to our life. And we've got a reading plan if you would like to join us. You can text word, I think, to the number that might appear on the screen. And if not, ask Pastor Carrie or I later. You can text us and we will give you a reading plan to read. We will give you it. We will put something in your hands. There is something for you to know how to read the word of God. And you can begin to pray and say, God, show me how this applies to my life. And you can start with little steps moving forward so that we can grow in our foundation of who God is and what he wants to do in our life. And listen, if you are in this room and you've never been to the Welcome to Church party, well, it's tonight. You're welcome. And you should be there because we will help you. We will help you learn how to apply the word of God into your life. We'll help you find the right place to connect and plug in so that you can figure out how you can grow in spiritual maturity. You know, Friday, I was driving home from LA and I just had lunch with a friend and it was about 3 p.m. LA to Orange County at 3 p.m. And I was like, oh, great. I'm going to be in the car forever. And she said, have you ever heard of the app Waze? W-A-Z-E, you're welcome. And I go, no. And so I download it to my phone, and it's this interactive app that's constantly being uploaded with all the traffic and things like that. And she said, just plug in your address, and it will tell you how to get home. And I'm like, okay. So I plug in my address, get in the car, I start to drive, and it starts directing me. Like, in 2 miles, you will turn right. In 1 mile, exit right. And it just gives me all these directions. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow it. And I've been to LA a handful of times, so I know kind of the basic freeways I could take to get home. And it starts leading me in this different direction. In fact, I exited one freeway onto another, and the freeway I was on started to speed up and go faster. And I was pulling into traffic that was almost at a standstill. And I was like, what in the world? This app is crazy. Like, this is not working for me. And I was about to turn it off and go the way that I thought I knew was going to be best to get home. And then I realized that some information had been updated on this app, that there was a 10-car pileup on the other freeway just a few miles down the road. And if I had stayed on that freeway, I would have been caught behind a 10-car pileup and probably not gotten home till late in the evening. But it took me a different route. And I had to go a little bit slower than I wanted to go. But eventually, the traffic picked up, and eventually, I was able to go a little bit faster. And along the way, it would tell me, hazard ahead, stay in left lane. And as I did that, I began to notice there's cars pulled over to the side of the road, but my lane of traffic is moving pretty smoothly. Man, this app is awesome. And then it had me exit the highway and take these back streets. And at this point, I was just like, I'm going to try it just for the sake of trying it. And I was thinking it was a little crazy. But it took me in this roundabout, and I skipped all this traffic and got back on the highway, and I made it from LA to Orange County in an hour and 45 minutes at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and that is unheard of. And I was like, this is amazing. And I decided not to turn it off before I got home, and it even took me a different way home than I would normally choose to go. But you know what? It was quicker, and I was able to enjoy the beauty of the drive because I didn't have to be in control. Listen, God's word is our guide. It's our guide. And sometimes we might think we know better. Sometimes we might think that these pages, they don't make sense. But I'll tell you what, there's a purpose and a plan behind everything that God says. He does have a purpose and a plan for us, and it is for good. It is not for harm. He does want you to accomplish the great future and the purpose that he has for you. But there is an instruction manual. And when we put that to practice in our life, and we lean into his voice and not to our own thinking, he begins to direct our path. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this. Listen carefully. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight your path. Listen. That Waze application, man, it knew what it was doing to get me home without all the traffic and the best route possible, safe from any kind of accidents or any kind of problems in the way. And I just had to trust, even though I didn't agree or even understand the route that it was telling me to take, I had to trust that it had my best interest in mind. And even better than an app on our smartphones is a God who wants to take you clearly in to the purpose that he created you for. He loves you. He's got you. He'll direct your path. He'll give you peace when there is no peace. He'll give you strength when you have no strength. He can do anything in your life that you ask of him. We've just got to learn to follow the instruction manual. Hey, listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let's begin to grow in our faith. Let's begin to grow in spiritual maturity. I want to talk to some of you in this room, and maybe some of you here have been trying to do this on your own for too long. And this makes sense. Maybe you've hit some major roadblocks. You've tried it your way and it's just not working. And today, maybe you need to put your trust in Jesus. Maybe for the first time. Maybe for the first time in a long time. See, the scripture tells us that we've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. And the punishment of sin is death and an eternity in hell. And that sounds bleak, but we understand consequences. But the scripture gives us hope because it also tells us that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Maybe today you need to stop trying to do everything on your own and just surrender. Just say, God, it's your turn. I'm going to give you a chance to steer my life. And if that's you, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray a really simple prayer. And I'm going to ask you in your own seats and just in your own heart, you don't have to pray out loud. If that's you and you need to make a decision to surrender your heart to Christ today, would you just pray with me in your own heart and make that a decision that you make from this day forward? And then you just get to start the journey. And it's going to be exciting, full of ups and downs, but God will give you everything you need to get where you're going. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. If that's you and you need to make a decision today to surrender your life to Christ, if you'll just pray with me. Dear Jesus, I'm tired of doing this on my own. I'm tired of trying so hard and it not working. Today, I surrender my life to you. I acknowledge that you are God. Thank you for giving your life for me on that cross. I ask that you forgive my sins and that you will begin something new inside of me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.